there today with Owen Beatty.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Now, it's understood that a single house in Park Wirra in Newbridge is to be let by the government to house up to 12 international protection applicants. Earlier this month, up to 70 residents of the Park Wirra estate attended a public meeting to express their concerns and dissatisfaction at the situation. However, some did say that they would support refugees moving into the house if they were all from the same family. Well, on the line is Gael Councillor Peggy O'Dwyer, and we'll also be speaking to Louise and Teresa, who are from the Park Wirra Residents Association. We might actually start off with you, Teresa, and Louise and Teresa, to go to you. When did you first get wind about what was happening here in Park Wirra, and what are some of the concerns that you would have?
Okay, Owen, we discovered around the 19th of March, we had approached our councillors, Peggy O'Dwyer being one of them, to ask what was going on in that house. Because residents kind of knew, I suppose, with all the work being done, that it was something out of kilter. But Peggy informed us the house was being let by IPAS. And we then went and had a meeting with residents. And at that meeting, we discovered, only the night of that meeting, we discovered it was actually 12 applicants that were going to be housed there. We had been told they would be made up of multiple families. Now, anyone that knows Park Wirra, we're a local authority estate where 70 years, I suppose, the houses were first built. You know, the briefing that the councillors got, this is a large local authority house. That's not true. There is four bedrooms in that house. One of those bedrooms is called a box room. And it is what it says, like a box. It's 10 by 7. There is an extra bedroom built on, I suppose, which makes it four beds, but most unsuitable. But Owen, I have to say, our anger, I suppose, when we dug into it, the landlord for this house, the company that owned it, are going to receive €76 per person per night. That's 27,000 he's going to get a month for that house.
Okay, let's bring in Peggy O'Dwyer then. And Peggy, as Teresa has outlined there, you were the councillor that has kind of been engaging with the Residents Association and the residents in Park Wirra for the last month or so. What's your views on what's happening here?
Good morning, Teresa. Good morning, Louise. So as Teresa has rightly stated there, prior to the email which we received on the 19th of March, I had sought clarification for Teresa on again, what she said, what was happening with the refurbishment of the house. So on the 19th, and I'm just going to say, I've been engaged with Park Wirra for many number of years, but from the 19th of March, I have engaged in an honest, open, transparent way with the information as we got it. So I suppose to go back just a little bit, things have changed, but if you want to ask that in a different question again, you can.
Well, I'll ask it now, because the question that I would have is that it was my understanding that it's not government policy to use residential houses or residential facilities in estates to house refugees. So we've seen other buildings, such as disused hotels, etc., being brought back into use to house refugees. So has there been a little bit of a change in policy, or do you feel as though the government are doing the right thing here?
Well, as you rightly said, and with Brendan Kennedy, who's the community engagement team with the department, and I facilitated that meeting and attended it with the residents that night, and since then it was my understanding that the department have not accepted offers of residential accommodation because of the existing shortage in the housing market. But clearly there has been some allocations. The department have the authority to accept a house if it's deemed appropriate. And in this situation, Coolbridge Limited which is a privately owned house, and it's a company, they put forward their house in Park Mirror to be considered for IPASS accommodation.
Okay, just to go back to Teresa and Louise then, and to get your views on this, and to play devil's advocate, Teresa, this is, as Peggy has said, a private owner of this house, and I don't want to get into the details of who the owner is, but a private company. Are they not entitled to do whatever they want with that house?
No, I would say to you, we're in the middle of a housing crisis. People cannot get houses to rent. A house next door to that property was up on draft last Thursday for $1,800 a month. Now, this morning, there's 9 homes for rent in Newbridge. Who do you think, Owen, are the landlords going to go to now? Do you think they're going to rent their houses to the ordinary taxpayer, who is already put to the pin of their collar to pay $1,800? This company is going to get over $330,000 a year for the rental of that house. He has a 2-year contract. Now, this is so wrong on every level. We are a working class estate. Newbridge is a working class town. And I would say to you, they have now taken the rental properties away from the people of Newbridge.
Peggy O'Dwyer, do you want to come back in on that?
No, and I want to fully understand and appreciate what Teresa is saying from the point of view of the very low rental accommodation property that we do have in Newbridge. And this situation is making it very, very difficult. But on the other hand, I suppose I would like that if a family, and it is, the fire certification has all changed, it is going to be an allocation for one family, that, you know, I suppose they're considered in all of this as well, Owen, you know, that the landlord has made his decision. I don't know if it's going to be reversed. IPASS are still looking to get a family. It will be a single unit family that will go into the house. But I fully appreciate what Teresa is saying in relation to taking a house out of the property market for rental.
Let's get the views then of Louise, who's also on the line, a resident of Park Wirra and on the Residents Association as well. Morning to you, Louise. You've listened to what Teresa and Peggy have had to say. What's the feeling on the ground there amongst other residents in Park Wirra?
Yeah, as you say, we did have an initial meeting earlier this month, and the majority view at that meeting, it was quite a tense meeting. There was a lot of anger at it. As you say, there was literally a show of hands. There was maybe 4 people that said they wouldn't have an issue if there was a family moving in, but the rest were quite angry. And it does come back to the fact that, yeah, okay, I understand Peggy is saying it will be one family. It's still one family of 12. And we were initially told before that meeting in the briefing that there was a fire cert for the less. We then found out that there was an issue with the fire cert, that it wasn't approved, and that the condition of the fire cert was that the 12 people had to be from one family. Mm. Now, why that makes a difference as to 12 people who aren't related and 12 people who are related, fire safety-wise, I have no idea.
Well, just to come back in, Peggy, it's my understanding that this house can house up to 12. Is there anywhere that says that it has to be 12 people, or can it just be, could it be, for example, 7 or 8? But it has the capacity, the landowner and the government are saying it has the capacity to hold 12.
Yeah, and that, I suppose, when the initial assessment was done, it was that it had the capacity for 12. With the fire certification that was submitted, and I'm going to acknowledge our Kildare County Council Engineering Integration, Director of Integration, David Creighton. It was he picked up the anomaly around the fire certification. And the reason about the fire certification is for one unit, is one family. They all know each other. They're of the same, you know, language, and they understand about fire escapes and fire safety. Whereas if you have 2 or 3 different groups in it, you have to have a higher fire safety recommendation from that point of view. So at the moment, it is with IPASS for a family. It may not be, or probably will not be, a family of 12, because there are very few refugees coming into Ireland. They're all displaced, that you will find 12.
Sorry, can I just...
Sorry,
yeah, Louise.
Yeah.
Sorry, even if they were only to put one person in that house, at those rates of €76 per person per night, it's still about €2,500 a month. It's still way over what the average rent is in this state. It's still taking away a property from the normal taxpayer who are struggling already. Like, it's not giving them a hope to try and get a house.
Yeah, and just to come back in on that, and I was reading online over the last few days, I know Deputy Catherine Murphy asked Roderick O'Gorman back in January if the number of private residential houses and apartments he's using to accommodate refugees, and it's quite a lengthy response, but towards the end of it, it says the exemption does not include residential houses or apartments, so that essentially, in a nutshell, back in January, they say that houses are not permitted for IPAS under the regulations. And the question that I would have is, has that changed, or what has changed, and when are we going to see more houses now being used to accommodate refugees? I put it to you bluntly then, Teresa and Louise, what is your core issue here? Is it to do with the cost of how much it's going to cost for those refugees to stay? Is it refugees coming in general? Is it the fact that it's unsuitable if up to 12 people are staying there? What's the core problem?
Teresa here, Owen. It's the cost is the big thing for us. Newbridge has welcomed. We have our Air Powell Hotel is full of refugees. We have a large guest house, the Gables. There's 90 refugees out there. We've lost the use of the swimming pool, which was open to the public in that. Our local schools used that pool for their weekly swimming classes. That hasn't been available in 12 months. The monastery, the Patrician Monastery, that was taken over and given over to Ukrainian refugees. So I don't think anybody can say that Newbridge hasn't been welcoming. But we're a working class area. We're taxpayers. I don't know how anybody can say this is not value. How can you spend $27,000 a month renting a house when the very house next door is on the market for $1,800 a month? Now, you know, these are business people. Of course they're going to jump and buy all of these houses. They're going to be snapped up. Our families won't be able to rent nor buy a house in Newbridge. And this morning, there's 13 houses in Newbridge under $300,000. This landlord, for just 2 years, he will earn over $600,000 on that one property. For the last quarter, his company, that's for October to December in 23, his company took in over 206,000 he took in rental from IPAS. And that's up on Roderick O'Gorman's website.
The Residents Association, as Peggy has outlined, met with an official from Roderick O'Gorman's office, and you sent another letter via registered post to Minister O'Gorman. You're still awaiting a response or further clarification here. So where do you go from here? What's your plan now?
Owen, we sent registered letters to all of the different parties. Their silence is deafening. We would ask the question, you know, how many TDs local government are actually landlords? Because I cannot believe, you know, our councillors are on the ground and they are supposed to be representing us. None of them came to us to tell us about this deal. None of them. It obviously wasn't important enough for them. You know, when a house, there's no comparison to the local taxpayer that's going to pay $1,800.
Right.
A company.
Councillor Peggy O'Dwyer, respond to that.
I suppose I do acknowledge that the finance that is being paid to the private operators is astronomical. I do want to acknowledge that. I certainly would like to see that greatly reduced. The government policy is that they are going to run the state facilities and reduce the private operator. But just on a point there with Teresa, from the 19th of March on, I went to the meeting in the Family Resource Centre. I went to the meeting in the Parish Centre. It wasn't until that night that a person that was on the committee asked what was the rate of pay. So that was the first time that I had heard what the rate of pay was. I'm not sure if it's the same across all facilities from the point of view, is it a house or is it a hotel? And from that point of view, so... You know, I'd like to think, I'm just going to say as a county councillor and a public representative, that I have been engaging very actively with the Residents Association. But I do acknowledge, I mean, the sum is astronomical and we need to reduce that down because it is an incentive for landlords. But on the other hand, we have refugees that are in a very difficult situation. And we need to just park them as well within this, not park them, put them within this conversation as well.
Yeah. Teresa, just finally then, final word to you. So what is the Residents Association going to do in Park Wirra now? Is there another public meeting to be held or what's the plan?
Well, we will go back to our residents. A public meeting, it gets very, very... the last time we had people actually not from Park Wirra that managed to get into the room. So it gets very tense and very angry. We are certainly going to be asking our public representatives. We have the Curra camp at present that has 62 vacant houses. That's state owned. There's a hospital up there, to my knowledge, that's empty. The Curra prison, I'm not sure if that's being used. We have the Red House, the hotel out here, a mile out the road. Now, that was owned by NAMA. In the middle of all this, the state owned that property. I'm not 100% certain. I think they possibly may have sold it on. It's still derelict. Owen, I would say to you, it might take a couple of million to do that up. But with the figures and the money they're spending on private properties that they're letting, would that not be a no-brainer? Go and look at what they have, the state have, before they come after our houses. Because there's not a young person, and we've met them at the door. We spent the weekend going around giving out leaflets. So we've met people who can't get houses to rent, and they certainly won't. So we are asking our local representatives and our government to stop this now before it happens.
All right. Listen, we'll keep in touch with yourselves at the Residents Association and keep us up to date on what happens and any developments and public meetings that you might be holding. That's Teresa and Louise from the Park Wirra Residents Association. It's understood a single house in the estate in Newbridge is to be let by the government to up to 12 international protection applicants. And however, some in the estate did say that they would support refugees moving in to the house if they were all from the same family. Just want to get to some of the messages that are coming in to us. Teresa in Salon says it's crazy money that's being wasted on this. Why not spend that money on building hundreds of modular housing units that could also be used by Irish people and refugees, and it could be used by Irish people when the refugees no longer need them. Another one here says, I think it's a disgrace the private buyers have to compete with the local government and state bodies when purchasing a house. Local government are paying big money for these houses through the taxpayers, the very people who are paying the taxes and competing for these houses. The state should be building, not buying houses in the private market. And that comes in from James. Another one has come in to say that the amount of soldier accommodation unused in the Curra is shameful. Why don't the government put refugees there? And also a few more coming in, which we'll catch up on in a couple of moments. Thanks to Louise and Teresa for coming on with us. Peggy O'Dwyer is still on the line because, Peggy, there's a couple of other local issues you've been raising, and you wanted a three-way stop design out at the Ring of Rosebery towards Hawkfield.
Yes, Owen, and good morning to Teresa and Louise. So on this motion I submitted, it's actually at the Mooney's Road Junction where you go left for Milltown and go left to go out on Milltown Hawkfleet and go right to go up to around the Ring of Rosebery. This very, very narrow country road has now become a rat run for all sorts of large vehicles, small vehicles. It's nearly a single junction at one stage. So it was actually somebody contacted me. There's only just one stop sign down there. So we're just trying to get three stops put in at each junction. So it will slow people down. Speed is a big issue there. And the design team, as you can see from the report there, they do agree and they're going to draw a design and hopefully the funding will follow that too.
All right. Did the council confirm if it plans to review St Conlett's footbridge in Newbridge to include surface risk assessment?
Yes, St Conlett's Bridge was, I suppose, modernised in 2006 when the walls were removed and the boardwalk was added. And this was really to facilitate when the white water opened. So the surface of it is very unusual. It's kind of metal reinforced in within timber, and even when you're walking on it, the sensory sensation is very uncomfortable. So it was brought up, I suppose, by a number of groups, but the Active Retirement Group and our Disability Access Group, they have brought it up. There has been slips and trips and falls there, so the council have acknowledged that, and at the minute they're just looking to see what kind of a surface that they can put on it to make it certainly much more comfortable than what it is now.
Finally then, Peggy, any sign of the Department of Defence opening up the swimming pool in the Curragh for schools and other groups?
Yeah, well, all my fellow councillors supported it. As you know, the Curragh pool had been open to the public, to schools and groups prior to COVID. Once COVID came, we lost access to the pool. I understand at the moment there's refurbishments going on to the changing rooms, which were needed. So I'm hopeful that we'll get a positive response, but the letter is going to be issued on behalf of local county councillors.
Okay, thanks indeed, Fine Gael. Councillor Peggy O'Dwyer on the Kildare Newbridge Municipal District. Thanks for joining us, Peggy. Just a few more messages coming in then in relation to Park Wirra. This listener says, my son, his partner and two children are living with me because they can't find a property to rent either in Newbridge or the surrounding areas. They don't even get responses to their emails of interest. The rents are too high for what they can afford, even with the HAP scheme. I myself am under a lot of stress to support them while they wait to be housed. Another one here says, I can understand the wider issues the Park Wirra residents is making on housing in general and rents. They are points well made, but have they been campaigning on these issues before, or is it just now that there is a family of refugees moving in the estate? I can't believe residents think it's okay to veto who their neighbours are. This is a family in dire need. Sounds like a lot of NIMBYism to me, says Joanne. For example, not in my backyard, and the residents just don't want the refugees going in there. That's according to Joanne. Another one says, and we wonder why all our young people are leaving. The government need to wake up quickly. Another one says, hi, Teresa, Louise and Peggy, forgot to inform you that each person staying there will have individual lockers. That doesn't sound normal for a family. Also, the most important thing, apart from the money, is there are a lot of older people living there and they're a bit nervous. Okay. I know that that's a point that's being made, but at the same time, you know, we need to just be respectful here in terms of those refugees that could be moving into that house. And as we understand it, it's to be a single family, a family unit going in. Now, the points that Teresa and Louise made, that the cost of this for the taxpayer is very high, and that point was well made. But on the flip side of that, it's in terms of the private developers and the private landowners, if you're getting that type of money, you know, that's down to the government and the price that the government are putting on that. And also to say that, as far as I'm aware, because of some of the residents in Park Wirra that contacted me over the weekend, some are in favour of this. Some are saying that they would support the refugees moving in to the house. And I know that there are quite a lot of people that are saying they wouldn't. But I don't think it's fair to say that all of the estate is against this, because there are some people that are supporting and are willing to welcome the refugees into the house. Listen, we'll stay on top of it anyway, because it's something I'm sure that will keep going over the next few weeks.
Kildare Today with Owen Beatty.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Just back to the issue of Park Wirra for a moment. A single family of 12. I don't believe that, says a listener, but say if the number was less than 6, for example, I think people would be more welcoming. But that's the point that I'm making. As far as I'm only determining the information that I have to me at the moment. They're saying that this house can accommodate up to 12 people, right? But that's different than saying 12 people are going into that house. It can accommodate up to 12 people. So if it's coming from a single family, which is the information that we have as of this morning, that one single family are going to be put into that house in Park Wirra, then who's to say that it won't be 7 or 8 people? You know, so we need to just get the information straight on that and try and get, you know, the facts on who's going into that. And that's the reason that we're discussing it this morning, is to try and get some clarity for the residents in Park Wirra. Another message then that has come in to us, a listener who was at the Park Wirra meeting said that they were told that 12 men were going into that house and that they're undocumented. That's what we're talking about with misinformation. As far as I can determine from the official channels, that's not the case. It's going to be a single family going into that house. Okay, another one says her child is now homeless and they have a 13-year-old autistic child and a 7-year-old. They went to the council and they got no help. Not fair on those who are living in Ireland. We want to say a very big happy birthday to Grandad Farrell in Dunlavin, and that comes in from grandchildren Cooper and Kerry. Let's go back to the phone lines. Bart Murphy is on the line, charity shop owner in Wexford and of course closer to home here in Strafford as well. Bart, welcome to the programme. You're looking for people to bring furniture, bric-a-brac, delf, other bits and pieces to your shop.
Yes, Owen. We are a non-profit. We're not a charity. We're a non-profit, Owen, because that must be stated. We deal directly with people with cancer. We drive them to hospital or we would put in a, you know, they say they wanted some help with a shower or walking ramp outside. We give them a little bit of help with that. And that's what we do. But we're a non-profit. All our funds go, I don't get paid for working there. All our funds go to help people directly, you know. Now, yes, we're looking for stuff, Owen, because, like, people forget that the pandemic came, but we had to keep the shops open, so we had to borrow $135,000 to keep the 4 shops open. Now, we nearly have it all paid back. But, like, people, we need stuff to keep going, you understand? We need bric-a-brac, clothes, all kinds of stuff. Furniture is a big thing, but we need stuff we can sell, okay.
Absolutely. So whereabouts are you based then? You're on the road from Clane or towards Middleton, is it?
I'm doing this for 47 years, right? But we're doing the shops for, well, I started in Selbridge with the shop at the side of the house, and then we moved down there to where we are on the Selbridge to Clane Road there, just halfway, long town there. It's just outside Strafford Village and it's on the main road. You can't miss it. Bart's is there. We're 16 years there in that shop there now, you know what I mean? But it's a lovely shop and it does okay. But, like, at the moment we're really, really short of stuff in the shop. You know, we're really short of furniture and bric-a-brac. But the furniture, people still think that we can take everything. We can't take it if we can't sell it. You know, that is the big, and that's the big issue now, because rubbish, dumping rubbish is gone through the moon. Like, you take a van load of rubbish to go to recycle is around €600, you know, and, like, you know, you won't fit much in a van, like, but that's what it costs now between labour and as I say, and that's why we have to say no to people. And this is what people, I want to get your listeners to understand, that we will say no if it's not good, if we feel it's not fit for selling, you know.
Right, so finally then, Bart, tell us what you want. What are you looking for and how can people
really
drop it off to you?
Really looking for, if they want to ring me on 01610 or 086-031-2772, I'll collect the stuff any day for them, right, any evening. But, like, furniture, clothes, furniture is a big thing. Decent furniture that we can sell, jewellery, delf, anything that's good we want stuff. We really are under pressure. We're losing money since Christmas in the shop and in the long time there, and if we don't get it we'll be gone, and I hate to see it closed, you know, you understand me. It's just under we're under awful pressure in the shop now because the stuff is not coming in, you know. The stuff, the quality stuff is not coming in, you know. Like, you see, on one time we were there was no competition, but now everyone puts everything online. And that's the competition you have for anyone that's trying to run a small non-profit or a charity. The online business is people saying, Nanny has something to give. Oh, I'm going to give a charity. No, Mammy, I'll sell it for you. You know, and that's what's happening. And so it's not, it's right through the board. Everyone will tell you the same thing, you know.
All right. Well, listen, if anybody can help out and you want to drop stuff off to Bart's shop, they're there at Longtown in Strafford. It's on the road. You can't miss it from Clane out to Selbridge. And you can contact Bart Murphy on 086 031 2772 if you have any stuff that you need collecting, and Bart can collect them in the evening and bring them out, particularly furniture, Delf, bric-a-brac, that kind of stuff. Drop them off to Bart's because they do super, super stuff and super work. Indeed, a non-profit shop there out at Longtown in Strafford. Bart Murphy, good to talk to you and thanks for joining us.